Back in March, I promised that I would be back with another Mother's Day episode because it's Mother's Day for the rest of the world. And today I have with us Nancy Lamborn. Nancy will be sharing her journey of healing from her mother wound and how she moved from being an angry daughter to a coach and author. We had such a great time in this conversation, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Hey, sister friend, welcome to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast. Do you want to overcome the wounds and impacts of childhood trauma that are holding you back in life? Do you want to get unstuck, begin thriving, and confidently living God's best in all areas? I'm Jenny L., a certified clinical trauma specialist, life coach, trauma thriver, and most of all, a daughter of God living loved and on purpose. In this podcast, I'll share trauma education, healing strategies, along with biblical applications and motivational stories to support you in your journey toward trauma healing and thriving. So grab your journal, settle into your favorite spot, and let's begin. Nancy knows all too well the pain of childhood trauma and dysfunction. And since being led on her own healing journey to find freedom from a traumatic and painful past, she has committed her life to leading others into the same level of freedom she enjoys today. Since 2016, Nancy has worked with over 2,000 clients using biblically based healing prayer methods. She is an ordained minister, a licensed chaplain, and Nancy guides hurting people through a deep exploration of their past and into the process of exchanging lies for truth and bondage for freedom in Christ. I just love that. Nancy and her husband, Rick, reside in Georgia with their dogs and backyard chickens.
Yes.
They are loving parents and immensely proud grandparents. And as I mentioned, Nancy's first book is called Angry Daughter, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Welcome, Nancy, to the Shades of Trauma Healing podcast.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
To begin our conversation today, tell us a little bit about your trauma history.
Yes. So trauma began for me quite young. There was sexual abuse happening in my home. Very, very young, early memories. 3 years old, and it was fairly constant in my life until I was about 10. And to add to that trauma is that I told my mother about it, and as a young child, she actually held me responsible and turned on me for that. She was also very angry herself. She was very controlling, very unhappy with life, and I understood later that she was very broken. We don't know that as children, of course. But she was very hard to please. And, you know, there's always turmoil and uncertainty in the home. You're not really sure what you're going to get. So there's the big traumas of sexual abuse, but then there are the micro traumas of not expecting to be yelled at or harsh punishment and things like that. The sexual abuse really stopped about age 10 or 11, but my mother didn't stop being angry. So that continued, of course, until I left home. I did, as many other children who've had that kind of past, I chose the wrong type of partners. And I've actually also walked through domestic violence, years of silence, you know, being separated, and a lot of physical trauma and broken bones. And my children went through the same thing. And so I haven't written about that in my book. But like many children who see trauma as a child, it becomes normal. And so we don't have red flags when it comes to choosing partners that repeat the same pattern. So by the absolute grace of God, I was able to flee that with what I could carry. That was it. But then I started over. And for the first time in my life, in my late 30s, I finally started therapy. And it didn't start with the domestic violence. The therapy started where it needed to, which was with my childhood. And I had an amazing, spirit-filled, very tender therapist, and his work with me was transformational. It was not what I would call inner healing, but it was still quite profound, and I was able to release a lot of the sexual trauma. We didn't delve much into the trauma with my mother because I don't know that I would have recognized that as traumatic when I had the other trauma that was so obvious. And so that healing came later.
What a story. Hearing this and reading your bio, it just brings home to me then how much of a journey you've been on. And I want to delve a little bit more into, and you're free to share as much or as little, whatever you're comfortable with. Tell us a little bit more about what the healing journey was like for you. And maybe if there were any moments of realizations or aha moments that stand out as pivotal to your transformation.
Sure. So back to that first really amazing therapist, he took me back into my past and he used a technique, and there may be a word for it in medical circles that I'm not aware of, but he had me envision adult me going back to the child me and telling child me, "You're big now. No one's going to do this to you anymore. You didn't deserve this." And rescuing child me. And that was pretty pivotal to hear for the first time that I didn't deserve what happened, that it was not my fault. I had been blamed for it over and over, told that it was my fault. But I finally heard the truth that I knew deep in my heart that it was not my fault. And that was pretty profound. I was almost 40 before I ever wept over what happened to me in my childhood. And then going through that healing, the Lord led me to an amazing, wonderful man who said, "You're not damaged goods to me." And he saw me as perfect and unblemished, and even though he knew the past. So he was actually part of my healing journey. He prayed with me a lot before we got married, just because I had fears coming out of domestic violence and all that. And God chose this man for me perfectly. Several years into our marriage, and we're in church every Sunday, but I'm growing in resentment and anger in life. Couldn't tell you why, never thought about why. I just was an angry person. Everyone made me angry. I was offended all the time, but praise Jesus on Sunday, you know? But he began to just pray for me that the Lord would reveal himself to me, that the Lord would show me destiny. And from that, the Lord orchestrated a relationship with a mentor, a beautiful woman named Lucy, who came into our life through small group at church. And she shared that she prayed with people in her home for their healing. And I thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. Never heard of that. That was very foreign to my very evangelical background. But we had transitioned out of that denomination and were just open to what the Lord had. So she began to pour into me, to disciple me, to just love me and become trustworthy. And then she eventually walked me through my first sit-down session of what you would call inner healing. And it was all about the mother wound, all about that, because she had pegged the source of my anger. She could see it plain as day. And for the first time ever, I voiced forgiveness for my mom. And it was very gentle. I didn't feel forced. It was very emotional, because part of this type of forgiveness is naming how you felt about things. I felt shamed. I felt blamed. I felt neglected. I felt dishonored, all the emotions that are so valid. And, you know, I'm not saying these to my mother. I'm saying these to the Lord about my mother. And it was transformational. And I actually didn't know how transformational that was until a couple of days later when I went to visit my mom. I kind of had an obligatory once or every week or two visit. And I walked into her house a couple of days after that prayer session. And the minute I saw her, I knew that something radical had shifted, because all of the tension and the anger and the bitterness was simply gone. It was gone. And I was at peace. And I was floored by that. I was not expecting that level of freedom. And I knew that I wanted more of whatever that was. So that happened about 7 years ago. And I spent a lot more time with my mentor. She gave me training resources about this world of inner healing that I'd never heard of. And I continued to deeply dig up all the wounds of the past, whether it was being laughed at on the school bus or the boyfriend that said what he said to me, whatever the things were, all these places that wound us. And I just began to get free, and I learned what peace was. I'd never lived in peace and had joy and not offended by everyone that walked by me. And suddenly all those things that I'd lived with for decades were completely gone. And it was miraculous. So as I began to do this more, the Lord said, okay, well, now I'm going to let you do this for other people. What Lucy did for me, I'm calling you to do the same thing. And so I jumped in with both feet and went through ordination, went through certifications, went through chaplaincy. And it's been my life's work now for 7 years. And it's fabulous. It's so rewarding to see people sit down with you one way and dark and sad and angry, and they leave free and light and full of joy. And I see it every day, and it never gets old, and it's fabulous.
Thank you for sharing that. It sounds like you found your purpose in all of this.
Without a doubt, yes. This is what I was put on this earth to do. And my story is, unfortunately, 1/3 of the women in this country have some sort of the same story.
Yes.
And, right? Scripture says that what the enemy means for evil, the Lord will use for good. And so I can share a little of my story where they can see, oh, I can see how you've moved beyond this. There's hope for me to move beyond this. Yes. So he's using all of the mess in turning it into testimony.
Yes, I love that. That's freeing, as you mentioned. Yes. Freeing sounds like the word for sure. And I want to touch back a little bit, though, while all of this is happening, you're going through the healing journey, experiencing the releasing, or you're visiting your mom ever so often. Mm-hmm. What was the relationship like with her then? Were there any conversations about it, what happened and how you felt directly with her?
Good question. She was so broken. She didn't change really hardly at all. The Lord began to show me what her heart was like on the inside. And based on her normal behaviors and normal conversations, I knew that it would not be something she would receive well if I tried to sit down with her and explain, this is how I felt about the past, this is my perception of it, and God has healed me from it. She had a habit of rewriting the past to make it suit her narrative, as we often do. And what I learned, though, is that I didn't need her acknowledgement or her apology to be free of it. I simply, as I grew in that healing, I began to be able to love her where she was with all the drama and the chaos and the conflict and the neediness. And just, it began to not affect me. And so I could be around her more often without coming away offended and exhausted. And I did learn how to, within myself, set boundaries. You know, if things got volatile or ugly, oh, look at the time, I have to go. You know, I would leave comfortably without saying, I'm setting a boundary with you, because I knew that she wouldn't have received it well. Just what the Lord had revealed to me about the state of her heart and her capacity to talk about hard truth. We didn't do that. Our family, our entire family, nobody talked about hard truth. You don't cry, you don't show emotion, you sweep that all under the rug and you zip it. And that part of that was cultural, part of that was age. And I respected and honored that. I didn't want to force her to dig up the past when it would have been too excruciating. So we never did have the conversation, but I was okay with that.
Before we started this recording, this episode, I was talking about the different types of outcomes women can have when healing the mother wound. And something I specifically mentioned was talking about it when the mother wound hasn't been healed on both ends. There has not been an acknowledgement of the person, of the mom in this case. Nope. And I did not realize that you were going to share this, but I'm glad you did. So just for emphasis, what you're saying is, because I know a lot of women feel as they go through their own traumas and their mother wounds, if only I can heal the relationship with my mom, I would be okay.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing you say you can be okay whether your mom acknowledges
Absolutely.
Asks for forgiveness, yes. Repents, or any. Tell us how you got there to the space where you can go into the space with your mom and not have those feelings coming up. What shifted in you? What changed? What gave you that mindset to be able to do that?
One of the biggest things that was a shift for me is my mentor asked me to ask Jesus, how do you see my mother? And he gave me a picture of a broken, grieving 15-year-old whose dad had just died. My mother lost her father when she was 15, very suddenly. Her dad was her world. She was his person. And her mother was very harsh and stoic and unkind and demanding. And her world was shattered at 15. And so she actually, what the Lord revealed to me was that she got stuck there. And she was emotionally 15 until the day she died at 77. And so if you think about how do 15-year-olds behave? They're needy, they're dramatic, they're narcissistic, they're moody, they're dissatisfied, they're emotional, all of those factors. And that's simply who they are. So when the Lord revealed this to me, it allowed me to recognize, wait a minute, I'm not dealing with a 60 or 70-year-old woman. I'm dealing with a 15-year-old. And I do have a choice. I can resent that and be frustrated with her. Why can't you mature? Or I can recognize it's almost like we don't get angry at a blind person because they can't tell us if my blouse matches my pants. They simply don't have it to give. We have mercy and grace for that naturally. And so if I look at this emotional deficit with the same level of grace and mercy, it's not difficult to simply allow her to be the 15-year-old. You know, when someone presents with dementia and they're really declining, we don't yell and scream at them because they have pudding on their face or they, you know, button their shirt wrong. We're tender in that because we recognize that there's a deficit. And I can choose to have that same level of grace and mercy when it's an emotional deficit. I can recognize this is, repentance isn't a language she was taught to speak. Grace was not a language she was taught to speak. And I also, part of the healing is immersing in what God thinks about me. If I can hear my father tell me that I'm amazing and beautiful and that he's proud of me and that he likes me and that he wants to spend time with me and that Jesus tells me I'm fun and other ways when we hear from the Lord, what do you think about me today? When I know who I am by my Father, then that need to be seen and validated is met. And I no longer have to hold out hoping my mother might drop me a breadcrumb of approval because I already have it from my Father God. Now that takes work, it takes intentionality, but it also takes releasing expectations. You know, anger is most often the result of unmet expectations, and we must lay down the expectation that this person will ever be different. And when I lay that down, I'm suddenly free to just be. And a lot of people get hung up with these expectations. Well, I've changed, now you must change. I can't hold that expectations. I'm setting myself up for great disappointment if I hold on to that. I have to be, and you know, often these forgiveness journeys and healing journeys, they happen after our mothers are already deceased or the parent is deceased. And I have no expectation then. But mm-hmm. I can get the same level of freedom by walking through the same type of forgiveness, even if they've already passed away. Because if I'm still holding bitterness and resentment, it doesn't matter if they're living or not. I'm the one that is the only one that can free me from that. So I think laying down the expectation of an apology, she misremembered history so often that it's simply, she wasn't capable of giving that. And so I could choose to know who I am in the Lord and walk in peace without that ever happening. She did not change. We had one beautiful day together. I listed in the book, it was the Christmas right before she died. Part of the journey was that she had also been a closet alcoholic, and we did not know that. to the level that it was. And after I actually became her caregiver when she got COVID, and she had to get sober. She didn't want to, but that was forced upon her. And when that sobriety happened, she became more clear-headed. She became less dramatic. She became less angry. And we had a really beautiful afternoon together decorating for something at Christmas. And I remember it so distinctly. I came home and told my husband, this was the best day in my entire life I've ever had with my mom. It was remarkable because it was so odd. But then she passed away 6 weeks later, very suddenly. And so I had that beautiful moment to hold on to. But even in that beautiful day that we had together, I wasn't seeking her approval. I didn't need to have her apology. We just enjoyed being together. And it was beautiful.
What a gift you received. Oh, yes. God is so amazing.
Yes. Yes.
And what I want to highlight from what you said is you had needs. The mother wound is all about needs that were unmet. And for women who experience that, it's okay to acknowledge. In fact, you probably already acknowledge that you have that need, but you look only to the mom to fill it. And what I'm hearing you say and what I know is that we can take all of those needs to God and have Him fill it, because He can fill it more deeply than even our parents can, our spouses can. And when we have those needs filled and those wounds healed, we operate from a place of wellness.
Yes.
Then we can go into the world, even to those who hurt us, and operate from the perspective of God. Mm-hmm. Who does God say they are? Who does He say I am? Mm-hmm. And I think that is the key to healing when there isn't reconciliation or when reconciliation isn't possible on both sides.
Yes. Reconciliation is not always possible. Forgiveness is always possible. But forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. They are mutually exclusive. And there are plenty of people out there with mother wounds whose mothers are still violent, dangerous, angry, toxic, abusive, harmful. And boundaries are biblical. Jesus set boundaries. Leaving is a boundary. Silence is a boundary. Paul set boundaries. So boundaries are healthy. I can be in a position of complete lack of judgment, lack of offense, lack of hatred, and still make the decision of who is allowed to come into my gates and who is not. That is a position we're allowed to have. We have to grieve that. You know, grief has been part of my journey because I've had to grieve what wasn't and what won't be. Many women, I had the greatest relationship with my mother. That was not my narrative. And I've had to grieve that with the Lord. And we had a very short time of where we kind of liked each other. And so grieving this looks completely different. So if I have a mother wound where all she tries to do is physically harm me or steal from me or tell me every day what a horrible human I am. Even now in adulthood, there's still plenty of women that have that with their mothers. I'm not required to listen to it. I don't have to receive it. I do not have to answer every text, every phone call, every knock at the door. I'm not obligated to answer these defiling word curses over me over and over. I can love you and choose to still have a boundary and forgive you without holding any offense. That takes work. That takes choosing love over offense, and forgiving is a lifestyle. Forgiving every day. She's texting again. Oh, I choose to forgive that. That's sometimes what it has to look like. But I am firm with my boundaries when those are necessary for my health.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. So now tell us a little bit more about your book. What made you write this book, and what impact are you hoping the readers will get from it?
Yes. You know, I actually never planned to write this book. It was never on my radar. I never expected to write this story. And I went on a writing retreat with my sister, and we just pulled up and we were just going to write for a few days. I planned to write something completely different. And as soon as I put my pen to paper, the whole first chapter just popped out. And I was like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? And just chapter after chapter came very, very quickly. once I recognized kind of the package it was becoming, I started to think, okay, I've shared a lot of with a lot of people about my story of my mother wound. Maybe it's time to share it with more people to help them get healing. And so the whole book was written in less than 4 months. And originally when I wrote it, it was just kind of like a memoir. But then as I went back through it, I started realizing, well, wait, there's so many good prayers that address each topic that I used myself in my own healing. So at the end of every chapter, there's a short prayer that I would have prayed to address the particular issue in that chapter. So as people are reading it, they can pray along. Oh, well, I had this issue. Oh, that's what that sounds like. And then at the end of the book, there's a whole self-help section that shows you, practically lays out, how do you forgive someone that hurt you so deeply, whether they're deceased or not, whether they want to hear from you or not. This is how we do this. You imagine them sitting right in front of you. You take a piece of paper, you write down every offense, every infraction, and how it made you feel. You write it all down. Take a couple days if you have to. And then you vocalize it. Mom, I forgive you for beating me with a hairbrush. Mom, I forgive you for blaming me for being abused when I was a child. Mom, I forgive you for shaming me in front of the church and how that made me feel. Like, that's written down so that someone can take their own parental wound journey and actually start to pray through forgiveness for themselves. So that part has seemed to have been very exciting. I've had a lot of feedback from people that when they got to that part, all this emotion erupts and they realize, oh my goodness, I've actually thought I had dealt with this and I've actually just buried it. And so they're getting free, and I love that. And that's mission accomplished.
Yes, absolutely. There is something about getting the emotions out. Mm-hmm. Stuffing it down only goes so far, but getting it out is therapeutic.
And it hurts us physically. Yes. You know, and we're not meant to carry all that in our body.
Exactly. So as we wrap up, I know that you're living in purpose right now. Before you got there, you described yourself as being angry. And I know anger takes up a lot of emotional energy.
Oh, yes.
When you released that anger, what did that make space for in your life?
Oh, good question. It made space for just peace walking around. You know, because when we're carrying anger, there's a tension that just never releases. You wake up annoyed, you go to work annoyed, you go through the stop sign annoyed. And it just made space for the world to be brighter and more fun and more enjoyable. It made space for grace for other people. I used to be the person that would yell at others at the stop sign and get into some road rage, and I had a filthy mouth and other things. And it made space for a lot of grace for other people to just be human and to forgive more easily just in life in general. It made space for more physical health. Acid reflux went away suddenly, miraculously. And it made space for relaxation, for my husband to not have to dance around me if I'm in a bad mood. It made space for me to love myself as well. You know, part of the journey of trauma is we hate ourselves. There's a lot of self-hatred buried in the traumatized heart. And becoming comfortable with myself, I lost weight. I began to be satisfied with my appearance, with my body shape. My body began to respond by just being healthier. So it gave space for healthy self-love.
I keep saying this word over and over today, but this seems to be the word of the day. That is awesome. That is amazing. I'm just smiling. For those who can't see us, I'm smiling, I'm nodding, but I'm trying not to interrupt because I want Nancy to have the full floor. So I appreciate you sharing your story. Uh-oh. And I think this is a good invitation for people to get a copy of your book. So where can people pick up Angry Daughter by Nancy Lamborn?
Yes. So I have a website called lambornauthor.inc, like ink from a pen, I-N-K. LamborneAuthor.inc. Mm-hmm. And on my social media, I'm at Lamborn Author. So Facebook is at Lamborn Author. Instagram is at Lamborn Author. And the book is for sale on Amazon, both in paperback and in Kindle. And it's also on Google Play as an ebook. And so if you just Google Angry Daughter, and you'll find it.
Great. And I will put links to all of these places in the show notes so you can go there and pick up a copy of Nancy's book. If you think you're in need of this type of service and healing as well, you can reach out to Nancy. So Thank you so much once again for agreeing to be a guest.
This has been fun.
Yeah, it was quite, I know, right? It was quite fun. And to all my guests, I always offer the invitation to come back again to talk about anything that they may be interested in speaking about. And to wrap things up, if you'd like, I'll give you the last word of anything you would like to share with our listeners as they continue in their healing journey.
I think some people's hearts are being poked and stirred and they may be a little afraid. And so my encouragement is to start small with something easy to forgive. You know, if the mother wound is huge or the father wound is huge, maybe to get comfortable with the process, think of a cousin that upset you in a minor way just a month ago. Start with forgiving that cousin and then see how your heart feels towards them and then take baby steps towards the rest. You're not on a timer. There's not a rush. Take the time that you need, but start small if you need to.
Solid advice. Thank you once again, Nancy, and blessings to you, your ministry, and the release of your book.
Thank you.
Did this podcast episode encourage, inspire, or teach you something new? If so, would you be so kind as to share it with another friend who needs help to overcome her childhood trauma? And don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and written review for the show. This is the best way to let me know how you're enjoying the show, and it also helps Apple promote it to other sisters who need to hear it. Thank you for listening. I'm cheering for your healing. Join me again on Thursday for another episode. And until then, take time to breathe and be blessed.